Welcome into episode 86 of the Golly Amen podcast. Today we have one that was a listener suggestion. I got an email from a great young guy that, godly young man, that had reached out and said, what about thought life? Protecting our thought life, and not just lust. He specifically said not just lust, but other things. And I thought that's a fantastic episode. We've talked a lot about maybe keeping ourselves from lust or keeping ourselves from bad friends, influences, things like that, and changing behaviors. But sometimes we got to change our thoughts.
Yeah, that's a good introduction to it, because I do think a lot of what we spend our time thinking about and focusing on, it specifically with this podcast, is behavior. Yeah. Is okay, do this or don't do this, or yeah. You know, these are the things that a godly young man does or doesn't do. And obviously, behavior is supremely important. But if that's all that we're focusing on, we need to make sure that we understand that typically behaviors come from certain thoughts. And so, yeah, this is a great suggestion. I'm really looking forward to this episode. Joe's put together a great outline about how specifically do we protect our thought life, because you think about how many thoughts go through your head throughout a day.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, an infinite number of just thoughts that come here, come there. Thoughts about this, thoughts about this person, thoughts about... You know, and we typically always associate it with, you know, when we're talking about protecting thoughts, just lustful thoughts. Like, that's what we need to protect ourselves from. And we certainly do. And we've had episodes about that before. But a lot of what we're going to be focusing on with this episode, Joe, is not just avoiding lustful thoughts, but just generically negative thoughts. Things that could potentially lead to bad behavior, or things that could potentially lead to somebody acting in a non-Christ-like manner. Oftentimes, those start with negative thoughts, with bad thoughts about people, about the future, about maybe yourself, about your circumstances. And so this hopefully is going to be a powerful episode, because it's interesting you use the word protected, that your thought life must, that our thought life must be protected. And I agree, but what did you mean by that? And then if you want to get us into the next section here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think thoughts are so important, and it's kind of a lockbox. Like, we need to protect that, because thoughts are where all behaviors come from. So in therapy or in psychology, there's this idea of the cognitive triangle. Thoughts lead to behaviors, or lead to emotions rather, lead to behaviors. And so when you're thinking about something, that's going to make you feel something. When you're feeling something, that's... So practically speaking, like, if I'm thinking that everybody hates me, then all of a sudden I'm feeling lonely. And when I feel lonely, I isolate, or I run to porn, or I, you know, I get mad at people, and I you know,
so avoid the behavior people. Originated from that thought.
Correct. Everybody hates me, or, you know, nobody likes me. Like, that's the thought. So when we're working through this in therapy, we say, okay, we see the behavior, and a lot of people just want to deal with the behavior. You haven't dealt with the emotion. You haven't dealt with the thought where all of this originated from in the first place. And so if we're looking at a behavior that we're talking about, this is the importance of protecting our thought life, is that will eventually lead to the behaviors that we rail against so much. We don't want to do these things, but it's originating from a specific thought. If we can protect that and make sure, you know, there's kind of this bubble around our thought life, hopefully that will change our emotions and will change our behaviors and will help in those ways. Because you always ask, why? Why am I behaving this way? Because I feel this way. Why do I feel this way? Because I think this way. Why do I think this way? Well, that's what we want to get into a little bit today, discussing that, how to challenge some of the thoughts, how to reframe some of the thoughts. And so those are the keys. We wanted to give a few keys before we get into, and I think we had put lust and anxiety and negativity and self-loathing on here, some of the key thought patterns for young men. Some of the keys, though, as to how we avoid these or how we protect our thought life, I'll start with the first one, which is don't just ignore them. We need to explore those thoughts. It's easy, and I get a lot of clients who do this, where they, man, can we just like cope with them, and can you give me some pattern, some tools to stop thinking these
things?
I just want to move past them. I just want to forget about those things. We need to sit in this. We don't want to ignore this. Why is self-loathing coming up? Why is anxiety or negativity coming up? We want to ask questions of those things and explore those things.
Yeah. So you have on there, ask questions, and I do think that that is a significant aspect of this. Is like, if you have a thought, as you said, that this thought leads to XYZ feeling, asking the question of why am I thinking this right now? What is leading me to have this thought of everybody hates me, or, you know, I'm just a failure, or, man, I really dislike this person. Again, it doesn't have to always be about yourself. Sometimes about other people. Asking questions about that can lead you to some interesting conclusions and can hopefully solve maybe a lot of the reasons why you're having those thoughts in the first place. So I really like that you added on here the idea that you need to get curious and ask questions about why are you thinking these certain things. Everybody thinks things for a reason. Everybody has these thoughts come to them for a reason. A lot of it has to do with influence, I would say. And so I don't, you don't really have this on the outline, but this is where my mind went when it comes to why am I thinking this? You think about how inundated we are in our society with just voices from everywhere.
Yeah,
voices from everywhere. Not just the stereotypical, like your friends at school, your parents, your family, but as always, you have social media to deal with. You've got voices telling you this, voices telling you that. You've got influence coming in from entertainment choices. You've got influence coming in from literally all over the place. Again, just an inundation of voices and things that are influencing your thoughts. And sometimes, especially for a young person, it can be difficult to filter through those influences. Yep. And to filter through what might be leading you to think a certain way. Maybe you're, it could be as simple as you're watching a Netflix show about all these young people that seem to have nothing but time on their hands and go to the beach, and you're just, man, I never get to go to the beach. I don't have friends like they do. I'm not as good looking as they do. It's like little stuff like that that you wouldn't even think twice about watching a Netflix show or something. This stuff, we are constantly getting hit with this stuff, especially young people who, again, don't have the ability, maybe I shouldn't say don't have the ability, don't have the wisdom always to be able to sift through and filter through. That's a negative influence.
I've been reading through Bad Therapy by Abigail Schreier, I think it is. And she talks about in the public schools, a lot of times they'll have these morning check-ins where it's like, hey, what's happening in your life? What's going wrong in your life? And the circle of negativity starts where it's like a kid goes, well, my parents are going through a divorce. And the next kid, it's kind of a sad thing. And the next one's more of a sob story, right? Whatever it is. And so by the time you're the seventh one in, all of a sudden you're thinking negative. Like, well, I got to come up with something. For you to go, my life's good. Like,
my life went great this week.
Yeah, exactly. I think everything's pretty good. So you're now in this pattern of negative thinking because everybody else around you is negative. So I love that point. Like, be careful of the influences. A lot of times that is where this comes from. The only way you find that out is by getting curious about these
things. Sorry, real quick, not to stay on this point, but I think it's so interesting. I do believe through social media, through whatever, a lot of people are programmed to think negatively, it seems.
I agree.
Like, that is just their first, man, what happened to you this week? If somebody just asked you what happened to you this week, so many people would be programmed to think of, okay, what was the worst thing that happened to me? That's what I'm going to share. What's a negative?
I've been struggling with, yeah.
Right, and maybe it's not, I certainly don't even think for a lot of people that it's intentional. It's just that's how they're programmed is to think negatively. Maybe the constant news stories that are just basically always bad. I mean, there's so many things that contribute to, not to beat the dead horse here, but I do think a lot of times you see this with, I see this a lot more with adults, that they're just programmed to, you know, how are you guys doing this week? Well, you know, we're barely hanging in there. It's like, that is a negative thought coming out.
Yeah,
like,
have
some excitement about life that just a lot of people don't. And I think a lot of it has to do with their thoughts.
And again, that goes to just coming back to this point, like, don't ignore those things. We want to know where they're coming from. We want to know, how did we get there? And why are we thinking these things? Why are we thinking negatively in this situation? And you'll realize, like, maybe I'm looking for somebody to listen to me. Maybe nobody really took me seriously, or nobody's understanding my emotions. Like, I did have a tough week. Okay, then admit that and talk to somebody about it. But the way that we stew on this is the problem, and that's why getting curious about it, not just ignoring them and trying to push it aside of like, I don't have time to be negative. Like, sit in that for a second and go, what do I really need? It's the same thing on, and I know we're beating this one to death, but it's the same thing when I work with clients on pornography, and the triggers come, and they're just trying to avoid triggers and stay busy and everything else. It's like, sit in that for a second. What is it that you really need? Why all of a sudden did you go from things are going great to I need porn right now? There's a reason for this. If you sit in it long enough, you go, man, I think I'm feeling really lonely, or I'm feeling frustrated that I can't get this done, which is leading to feelings of low self-worth. Like, I'm too stupid for this homework. I just can't get this done. That's where it's coming from. But you would only know that by sitting in it. We'll move on. The second one is reframe. This is more of a coping technique, but in therapy, we have challenging thoughts, reframing thoughts, refocusing thoughts. Reframing them is taking something that is a negative and trying to turn it positive in some way. Mm-hmm. We'll get more into this, I think, with anxiety and such. The next one, I'll just, because I don't know that you know too much about.
Yeah, you're definitely
going to
take this
one. I don't know that you know too much about internal family systems, IFS. This is a therapy idea, but the idea is we have multiple parts. As Dr. Richard Schwartz, No Bad Parts is the book. We have multiple parts internally. We have a hurt part, and we have a protected, you know, these protective parts, the addict. Sometimes some of us have the addict. Some of us have the overachieving part, what we call the electrician, where you shut the emotions down, right? When the lights get too hot, just shut the power off. And so you dissociate from your emotions. Those that run to suicidality or self-harm, we have those parts. We have manager parts or judge parts. You know, they're judging everybody or critics. Or so we have all these parts internally. And it's really important to know our parts and to say, what is the anxious part? What does the anxious part have to say? So instead of like, all of me is anxious. No, there's a part of me that's calm and there's a part of me that's anxious. What is the anxious part needing me to know, needing the rest of me to know? Because it's really coming up strong.
Almost like compartmentalizing yourself. Yes,
in a way. In a way, it's kind of like that. And what you realize, we are very complex creatures, and people go, well, this sounds like multiple personality disorder. Or schizophrenia is what they say, which is not multiple personality. It's different. But the idea is, and it's the same thing, you know, they hate me. Well, what part do they hate? No, they just hate all of me. No, they don't hate the good friend part. They don't hate the godly part. They don't hate the, you know, the confident part. What part do they hate? And they go, okay, well, they hate the part that's socially anxious. Okay, now we can deal with the socially anxious part. That's not all of you. That is a part of you. So using something like that, that framing, and do some research on it, different parts are speaking. Listen to those different parts. It goes back to the first one, but listen to those different parts. What does negative Joe have to say? What's he trying to tell
me? Interesting. It's very interesting. So the last one on here for the four keys, before we get into specifically the four categories that Joe's got on here. Are you pulling up Philippians
4? Yeah, I was going to pull it up. Yep.
Is the idea that, I'm sure we probably talked on this podcast before about, I know we've talked about deeper, but the idea of running towards something instead of running away from something. You think about it just in the literal terms, if you're constantly running away from something, not really looking at where you're going, you're just trying to get away from something behind you, or get away from something, avoid something, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get exhausted. It's tiring. Versus running towards something where, yeah, you're probably still going to get really tired. I've never ran a marathon or anything like that, but like running towards a goal, it's a whole lot easier to keep running. It's a whole lot easier to avoid burnout. It's a whole lot easier to avoid exhaustion when you've kind of got your eyes like, I'm running towards that right there. There's a billion analogies we could use. I'm running towards that goal right there of getting out of debt. That's the goal that I'm running towards. And so that it's going to be tough, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to run towards the idea of just being a healthy person. Instead of running away from being fat and running away from, you know, whatever, I'm going to run towards this idea of being a healthy person. There's so many different, again, analogies we could, or examples, I should say, that we could use there, but specifically when it comes to negative thoughts, if you're just constantly trying to avoid, oh, I gotta get rid of this negative thought, good luck. That's gonna be really, really tough versus running towards positive thoughts. And that leads us to Philippians chapter 4.
Yeah, Philippians 4, I'm gonna start in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. So he's saying, don't be anxious, right? Mm-hmm. That's running away from.
Yep.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's something we should do, right? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's him saying, don't be anxious, run away from anxiety. But he doesn't just say, run away from anxiety and then stop.
Right.
He tells you what to run toward, right? He tells you, hey, make sure you're praying to God. Bring it to prayer. Bring it to God in prayer, through everything in prayer and supplication, right? With thanksgiving, let your request be known. And then think on all of these things. So instead of just running from the thought life, the negative thought life, how about you run toward a positive thought life of whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Now, you get the moms that are like, you go to watch some movie. Well, is that honorable? Does that meet Philippians 4:8? And it's like, okay, this, maybe that's used out of context from time to time. But the whole idea for Paul is, are you winning the thought life? Are you allowing the anxieties to win? Are you allowing the negativity to win? Which is really the book of Philippians, is the negativity, yoda, and syntyche, you know, battling.
Disputes and such.
Disputes and such. Are you allowing those things to win? Or are you actively pursuing positive thought life, where you are thinking on beautiful, good, holy, you know, pure things, because that's what's going to help us win the battle. Because I think Paul understands, actually, cognitive triangle. You win the thought life, you will win the behavior life eventually. So we wanted to get into four specific things here. Those are the keys. Don't just ignore them. Reframe them. Internal family systems, you know, using the different parts, speaking to those different parts, and run to, not away. So those are the four kind of keys to this framework as to how we can avoid, or how we can protect, really, our thought life. So, Will, I want you to get us into, and I'm going to look this one up as well, since I've got scriptures open, but get us into the first one.
Yeah, so we've referenced it a lot. It is kind of what everybody tends to think, where everybody's thoughts go, I should say, when we talk about avoiding negative thoughts, and that is lustful thoughts. We've had a whole episode, I should have looked up the number before, what episode we did it on, but it was called Dealing with Lust. Talked about it is one of the biggest battles that young men will face, consistently face, and you know, hopefully you get better and better and better at it, but odds are most guys never get to a point where it's like, man, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Right. I've got that behind me. Typically, no. And so we did want to start there. We've got three others. That's not going to be the crux of the episode here, but avoiding lust as a, or avoiding lustful thoughts, certainly we'd be remiss if we didn't bring it up. So he's going to read 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah. Now flee from youthful lusts. There it is. Run away from.
Run away from, yep.
Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Get close to people. Get connected. Paul's actually telling us one of the things that we know pulls us out of addiction the most, which is connection, where he's saying, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ, those who understand God and who are pursuing things from a pure heart, pursuing God, right? So we're pursuing righteousness. Yes, we're going to flee from the youthful lust, but when we're winning the battle of the mind and avoiding lust, we have to run toward positive things. We have to be able to replace porn or replace that lust with something else. Another thing I don't have on here, but just since this is something that I deal with a lot, I do want to go back to that idea of sitting in this long enough to say, why do I want that woman? Because ultimately, this woman can do nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me. If I lust after her and I have some negative thought, some bad thought in my mind, how does that tangibly help us? What
good comes of that?
What good comes of it, and how is she actually helping me? Maybe she feels, makes me feel worthy. Not really, because I don't know her. This is all in my mind. This is something that is, you know, completely like isolated from everybody else while I'm thinking these thoughts. How is that helping me? And what is this woman doing for me that I can't give myself? She's not making me feel more loved. I am picturing that in my mind. Okay, so go help yourself be more loved. Go help yourself feel worthy of love, which is going to be sometimes therapy, but sometimes it's just being around those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, who love you, who care for you, who are going to help build you up. That woman who's walking down the street who I start to lust after, or whatever it may be,
or somebody online,
zero.
Typically.
Exactly, somebody online for most of it. She can't give anything to me that I need. So I'm going to go meet my own needs. That's how we begin to deal with that lust, but we want to run to positive things.
Yeah, that's really good. How much to add? Let's get into the next one. So yep. Avoiding lust, but then secondly, avoiding anxiety. Anxiety is kind of a cultural buzzword a little bit, specifically in the mental health stratosphere, you might say, the mental health area of discussion is anxiety. A lot of people say they have social anxiety or they have... I'm not even up on all the other types of anxiety, but like
just, all sorts of phobias, fears.
Yeah. Just anxiety is kind of, again, a big thing that people are talking about these days. And so, and I'm sure we have listeners, we have watchers, viewers who maybe they've had periods in their life or maybe right now where they feel very anxious or they have anxiety about certain Golly Young Men podcast. Maybe you have anxiety about the direction of your life and where you're headed and what your future is like. The first thing that I'll say, and then I'll turn it over to you for kind of the tips, because that's kind of your area of expertise here. I would say there is a level of, especially when it comes to being anxious about your future, being anxious about state of the country, whatever, don't treat it as like the worst thing imaginable that you have anxiety. Like, it's understandable to some extent to have a little bit of anxiousness. When it comes to Philippians chapter 4, though, as we just read, Paul does say pretty clearly, be anxious for nothing. Give it to God. Take it to God. Think on these things, all the things that we just discussed. But anxiety, obviously, all the way back when Paul's writing about it, is pretty natural for us as humans.
Absolutely. It's going to be look, all emotions are God-given to a certain degree. That doesn't mean God is giving us anxiety. It means it's an absence of control, and it's an absence of trust in God in that moment. But sometimes anxiety is just very normal, and we have to know, let me sit in this long enough to say, why am I anxious? What's going on here? So first thing we can do is when we talk about reframing, we want to reframe this. And one of the ways we can do that is we take anxiety over something. We got a big test, or let's say we're anxious about some social gathering. Can we reframe this into excitement? Interestingly, it's almost like on this balance beam. And if I fall over, I'm into anxiety. If I fall to the other side, I'm into excitement. They really are on kind of the same balance beam here where I'm getting ready for the big game, and I'm just anxious as I'll get out, my stomach's in knots. And then you go, but I'm also really excited to be able to play in this. Like, we want to turn that into excitement. We want to be able to reframe some of those thoughts to the positive and refocus ourselves on positive things. Once again, that's a basic one. Anxiety is rooted in a lack of control. What can I control? The reality is there are some things you just can't control. Turn it over to God. There are some things you can control. So I'm really anxious about this test. study, 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 do the best you can do on the test. Look, man, I gave it my very best. I can then, even if I do poorly on the test, I can rest assured in the fact that I gave it everything. Where anxiety comes in is a lot of times like, man, I'm just either, if I fail the test, I'm worthless. You know, that's going to ruin my career or whatever it is like going forward. Okay, we're catastrophizing, we're future tripping, we're thinking about things that we have no control over in the future, first off. Second off, a lot of times we go in unprepared. And what we're really anxious about is knowing we're unprepared. So if you can prepare, that is something you tangibly can control, and you'll find the anxiety go down. But when anxious thoughts are coming up about these events or whatever it is, listen to it. What's anxiety trying to tell me? Maybe it's trying to tell me I need to work harder, and we are pulling away and procrastinating everything else, and anxiety is a good thing saying, hey, get back to work. On the other hand, anxiety may be coming from something much bigger, like you're going to be worthless if you fail this test. Well, okay, well, we need to handle those things. But the only way we know that is sitting in it. To the best of your ability, though, try to reframe the anxiety into something positive.
I love the control point. Everything you just said, I'm really anxious for a big test. Okay, well, what are the aspects of that you can control? How much you study? Do you get a good night's rest the night before? Do you eat a solid breakfast before the test? Yep. Are you... again, just like all those things. Are you staying up and watching Netflix till 3 a.m. before your test? Have you barely cracked open the textbook? Like, these are things you can control. And so that's what you need to focus on. Man, I'm really anxious for this job interview. Dress really well. Have your resume ready to go. Show up early. Be prepared. You'll be good. Like, it doesn't mean you'll get the job, but it means, to Joe's point, you will come out of that saying, you know what, I did my best. And you controlled what you can control. That's such a huge part of this anxiety discussion.
And let me also say this, just two more things. You talk about deep breathing, right? People mention deep breathing meditation. One of the reasons that works is because it's the first thing we can control. I'm controlling my breathing, right? I'm in, I'm out. There's a rhythm to this. So it gives immediate control to something that is very physiological. Obviously, we have to breathe, but it slows down the thought process and it gives us time to control something and know that it's going to be okay. I'm safe where I am. The other thing is, just to help, best case, worst case, most likely case, we've talked about this, I think, on the podcast before, but what's the best case scenario? I pass the test. Things are great. I get 100 on the test. What's the worst case? I fail miserably. Okay, what then? What happens after the worst case? Well, I'd have to do some extra credit and, you know, try to make it up as much as I can. Maybe I'd go to the teacher, see if I can retake it. Great, we have a plan. Well, that's not bad. All of a sudden, the anxiety's like, huh? So even if the worst case happens, I have a plan. It's going to be okay.
With a job interview, like, you know, you'll apply for a different job.
Yeah, exactly. You'll move on. Like, this doesn't define your life. If I'm going and I'm really anxious to talk to a girl, she might reject me. There's what, like 3.5 billion girls in the world. Like, it's going to be okay. There will be others that we can go to that.
But no, Joe, know, she's the one.
She's the one. I have to have her. Now, if you have to have any girl, you're toast because she controls your life at this point. Should want her, not need her. But that's where anxiety is what's the worst case? I've prepped for the worst. I'm hoping for the best. The most likely thing is you're going to go in and you're going to pass the test. And maybe you don't get as high as you want, but it's okay. You're going to pass the test. You'll learn more. You'll learn how the test is structured going into the midterm, final, whatever it is. It's going to be okay is really what it comes down to most of the time. If life is on the line, yeah, you're probably okay to be a little bit anxious about that one. Take your time, things like that. Most of these, your life is not on the line. You'll be okay. Let's get into number three. So we're protecting ourselves from less. We're protecting ourselves from anxiety. The third one is protecting ourselves just from general negativity. And I think, well, you touched on this really well earlier of the different, like, to me, anxiety can be group-based, but more than anything, negativity is group-based. Negativity is what you are letting in.
Yeah.
That's where negativity comes from. You see somebody who watches a constant stream of CNN, and they think the world is ending.
Yeah.
They really think that, you know, if a president gets in, like, the entire country will collapse. There's such negativity to that. Well, why? Because the TV's on 24/7. Because all year around is negativity and all of this fear and everything else. No wonder why we're negative about those things. But I would say, are you determined to be negative? When you find this, that's the question. Are you determined to be negative? Can you even see the positives? Do you give room for the positives? Because if not, maybe you're depressed. Maybe there's something more going on there. Depression's rooted in loneliness, things like that. Sometimes it's rooted in, for males, in helplessness, learned helplessness. I'm helpless and can't do anything. But if you are determined to be negative, there is a reason why we have to sit in that long enough.
I don't know why this is such a hobby horse of mine lately, a passion point, so to speak. But, man, you know why you can look at somebody who's really positive and say, that's really cool. There's something different about that person. It's because everybody in this world, it seems like, is negative. And we're, as I said earlier, we're programmed to be negative. And what's frustrating about it for me is looking at things from a positive perspective and just being a generally positive person, where when somebody says, hey, how are you doing? And it's not that you need to lie about, you know, how things are going and always say that things are going great. But the person that doesn't always say, well, you know, I'm not doing great because of this, right, or, you know, Eeyore. That's right. What I think of Eeyore with Winnie the Pooh. Like, there's always something negative to say.
Classic.
That's just, those people are dragged to be around. And yep, somebody who is positive and says, you know what, I think it's Dave Ramsey, this isn't better than I deserve, which, you know, I love that. Even if life's not going great, rough week, still probably better than what we deserve. Just looking at things from a positive perspective, I think, is so valuable and is so, man, it can be a catalyst for you in your life, in your career, because positivity radiates and positivity is infectious. Positivity is
It multiplies.
It's magnetic. Like, people want to be around that. And so, specifically for you young guys who maybe you're wanting to be leaders one day in business or whatever it is, man, you better start developing some positivity and some, you know, maybe it's just the worst case scenario at work, still got to have some positivity to it. And again, just don't be the person that's always like, man, how are you doing? Well, I'm not great because of da 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 da. Be positive. It's again kind of a hobby horse of mine right now. I don't know why, but just the general negativity that I see from young people specifically, because I feel like young people more than anything, not to say the older people have nothing to live for or anything, but like, younger people should be excited about the future.
Vitality,
vitality. They're more energetic, or they should be. They have a lot more going for them in some instances than some older people do. But yet, a lot of young people are incredibly negative these days, and so just don't be that.
I will swing the pendulum to the other side and just say briefly, yours is way more of a problem. Like, you know what I mean? What Will's talking about is, I would say, the majority of youth. However, I do see some who are incredibly positive all the time and everything's great. And it's like, be real.
Yeah, okay, true.
Be real. Because the reality is, life does have positives. It's got some negatives as well. We're not going to avoid the negatives.
I think, like, I would sum it up. Sorry to interrupt you. Life has more positives than negatives.
I agree.
It doesn't mean that you need to ignore all the negatives.
Because I think what we're doing is blindfolded. And, you know, some people are like, well, boy, all I see are negatives because the blinders are on the negatives. And then there are some people, all I see are the positives. Like,
neither one is healthy.
Nobody wants to be around the guy that, like, man, you know, it's, my dog died last night, and it's like, oh man, but life is great. I don't know why. It's going to be okay. it's okay to sit in that and go, man, I'm sorry. That's tough, man. That stinks. That really hurts, and I'm here for you if you need anything. Like, I can't imagine what that'd be like. That doesn't mean life is not, you know, all negatives. It means there are some positives, but know how to be real with people and not be ultra positive where it's so fake that I'm Mr. Positive. That comes across as, and the reason I'm passionate about this is I've known a few people like this.
Genuine is what I would say.
It's not genuine in the least. It's also a drag to be Mr. Negative, Eeyore all the time, where nothing is positive and everybody's having to lift you up all the time. Mm-hmm. There is something psychological about needing to be lifted up all the time. Sit in that one as well as to, why do I need everybody else to lift me up? But if you're positive and can't avoid the negative, maybe that's also psychological. If I can't deal with negative emotions, I can't sit in anger, I can't sit in sadness, I can't sit in hurt. You need to be able to sit in some of those things long enough to go, yeah, this is real, and I can sit in somebody else's emotions. This will serve you well in marriage, where you're not just rushing from your wife's emotions. It's okay for her to be upset with you. That's all right. This is practice for that. But in avoiding negativity, yes, as Will said, find the positives. Find that silver lining in some of those situations where you're not ignoring the situation, but you're also not Debbie Downer or Johnny Raincloud. Like, man, nobody wants to be around that. So, yeah, just be real in that and find the positives in life. Let's get in the last one here.
Yeah, I was going to let you go and tackle this one. I'll add whatever thoughts and then we'll wrap up.
So, avoiding self-loathing. This is a big one for young men. My wife just sent me an article of all these guys of, like, what it feels like for guys to be rejected, what they want the women to know about dating and how difficult it is for guys. Rejection happens a lot for guys. We act like that's a female thing, of the females are, man, you're rejecting me and I don't, you know, is it my looks, whatever it is. Guys get rejected a lot. This comes into self-loathing. Guys get rejected from their own dads, where their dads aren't hanging out with them. That contributes to self-loathing. Guys get rejected from their friends, or they don't have very many good friends. That goes into self-loathing. So all of these things contribute to this feeling of, I'm not enough. I must be an idiot. Nobody wants to hang around me. I must be a loser. Like, no, that's not the case, but bullying takes place and all of these things weigh on you. So that's why I would ask, first thing, where is this coming from? I start to feel negative about myself, or I just don't think I can do that, or man, I'm so stupid. Or you're sitting in shame and like, man, I did that again. Wow. I'm just never going to get through this. Those are negative self-loathing thoughts. Where is this coming from? And if you can trace back to like, man, when's the last time you felt really positively about yourself? I mean, maybe I was like 8 years old the last time I actually felt good about who I was. What's happening around seven, eight years old? What's going on in your life? And it's like, well, that's the time that, you know, my dad just completely dressed me down in front of my friends and yelled at me. And it's like, okay, well, maybe there's something right? That'll do it. So knowing when it started and being able to process through those things is invaluable when it comes to self-loathing. The other thing, and I like to ask my clients this question, how's this serving you? How is it serving you to self-loathe? And like, it's not. You wouldn't do it if it wasn't serving you in some way. It's
revolutionary.
Yeah, it's a simple concept, but you'd be surprised how many people, it just doesn't serve me in the least. It does. It may not serve you well, but it is serving you. It's the same thing like, I keep going back to porn, but I just work in this every day. How's it serving you? Well, it doesn't serve me. Like, no, it is getting you away from the negative emotions. It's helping you escape from the things you don't want to deal with. It's escaping from the traumas. Mm. So it's serving you. It just doesn't serve you well. We need to find new things that can serve you and really maybe process through those things. How is self-loathing serving you? Why does that help you in the moment? And maybe it's to lessen the blow of somebody rejecting you. If I self-loathe, that's okay. You don't have to hate me. I already hate myself. Now it's serving me. It's that buffer. It's a protective layer between me and that person maybe rejecting me. If I reject myself, then if you reject me, yeah, I already know. I'm worthy of rejection. And you see people that like that are always worthy. It goes to the last point of negativity. Like, watch yourself against those things.
Yeah. Maybe you're listening, viewing, and you struggle with one or two of these. Maybe you struggle with a lot of these. I would just encourage you, self-evaluate. Shout out to Joe for putting together this really good outline. It's one that might be a little bit more obscure, but I would argue just about every guy listening and watching to this, or listening to and watching this, struggles with some of these every now and then. Thoughts can run wild. Yeah. Specifically if you are not used to reining in your thoughts and having any control of your thoughts, man, they can just absolutely dominate everything about your life, your behavior. It influences your behavior, as we already spoke to, the influences. I mean, there's just so much that we covered with this episode, but I would just encourage you to take that self-evaluation of, am I constantly thinking negatively about myself, that self-loathing? Am I constantly thinking negatively about others? We didn't talk about that a lot, but
that's true.
Thinking negatively about others just leads to just poor behavior, in the sense of you are looking down on other people, looking at yourself as better than everybody else. And man, thoughts are the originators of so much. And so that would be my last piece of encouragement, Joe, and then you can wrap us up, is consider throughout your day, throughout your week, how many of your thoughts run towards negativity or anxiety or lust, as we spoke to, and do what you can to move past those.
Last thing I'll say on that, I should have added that to the outline. As far as it goes with people, a lot of times that's rooted in hurt. Somebody has hurt you, mm-hmm. and you have not really processed through the hurt. And so you now don't trust people. You're negative about people. Everybody's out to get me, or I hate people, or whatever it is. Sit in that hurt and work through it. Not everybody hurt you. This person hurt me. I need to process through that. Maybe I need to confront them, whatever it is. Say, that really hurt. Be willing to sit in those things. But if the one piece of advice stands out, if I could just put one piece of advice, don't ignore the thoughts. Don't run from the thoughts. We beat that point to death, but I'm very passionate about, like, man, my mind keeps going back to it. Why? Just get curious. Okay, I'm going to stop trying to just reroute my mind to something new, which is a lot of CBT and a lot of therapists tell you. Just think on something new. Yeah, but my mind really wants to go here. Why does it want to go here? How is it serving me? Why am I wanting to go to this spot? Let me explore that a little bit. Maybe there's something in that I actually do need, where I'm going to spend my entire life trying to take detours and getting frustrated that the highway is closed. Maybe explore why the highway is closed. That's the whole point that I would say. So we've gone a little long on this one. I'm passionate about this one because, yes, all the therapy things we've discussed, I mean, it's just something that I work with every day and I try to deal with in my own life, of making sure that my thought life is pure, my thought life is helpful and things like that. If we have missed some of these, you go, I'd really like to know on, or you guys didn't even talk about protecting from this thought, please comment, let us know. If there's ways that maybe we'll record an addendum, I don't know, a 5-minute thing to address some of those. I don't think we'll get another episode out of it. But if there is anything,
you never know. We might.
Yeah, there you go. We might. But let us know on that. But this has been episode, I think it was at 86, right?
86.
86 of the Godly Young Men. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.